This is Matt Bischoff of D-Rays Bay. I would like to welcome Aaron Shirokman of the St. Pete Times. You can check out Aaron's blog at TampaBay.com called Ballpark Frankness, where you can find anything you would want to know about the Rays' new stadium proposal. Aaron, thanks for joining me.
No problem. Great to be here.
Readers have sort of come to associate you with the coverage of the Rays' new stadium, but they may not know too much about yourself. How much of a Rays fan are you? Do you normally watch the games? And what sort of journalism background do you have that sort of suits you to cover this controversial topic?
Sure. First, I would consider myself a Rays fan, though I grew up in Pennsylvania, and so my allegiance is first or kind of the Phillies in the National League, but definitely I would consider myself a Rays fan. I was just talking to somebody today. I'm excited to go and buy my Scott Kazner jersey now that I know he's going to be here for a while. I went to school in Indiana, studied journalism, and I came to the St. Pete Times in 2003, and I've been covering city government ever since, and the city of St. Petersburg since 2005. And so this story kind of fell into my lap. You know, it's a lot of time with baseball, but it's a lot of time with City Hall. And so, you know, I love baseball, and I love kind of watching politics happen, so I kind of find it to be a good marriage for me.
Well, speaking of politics, oftentimes opposers of the new stadium make Matthew Silverman and company come off to be your run-of-the-mill, slick, politician-esque businessmen. What has your experience been in working with these guys, and what is their approach?
I think they are businessmen. I think they're some of the smartest guys in this area. You know, Matt and Michael Colt and the others there in the Rays organization, they are smart men, and you know, they have their interests, and their interests in this case are they want to build a new stadium. They think it'll be good for the team, and they also think it'll be good for the community, and I do genuinely believe that that's what they think. I don't think they're selling a line there. You know, I think it's difficult. I mean, anyone that comes at it, you know, they're being paid by the Rays, so obviously their opinions are somewhat skewed, but you know, I've always found them to be honest. They've always answered my questions. And quite frankly, you know, for the amount of stuff they have to do on a daily basis, the fact that they always take my calls and they're easy to get hold of, I think is pretty, says a lot, you know. So, you know, I enjoy working with them, and, you know, we don't agree all the time, and they get mad at me sometimes, and, you know, but we move on.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, like, the story falling into your lap. How exciting has this whole process been for you as a journalist?
Oh, well, it's been fun. Sometimes it's been exhausting, and sometimes it's been exhilarating, and I'll talk a little bit about both. I think in the exhausting category, what you have here is you have such a divisive issue where there are so many people who will be against the stadium in any way. And then you have so many people who were before the stadium. And in both cases, they're looking to me to provide coverage that helps illustrate their point. So in any case, when I don't illustrate their point, they're angry at me. And so, since November, I've been taking heat from a lot of folks on both sides. And, you know, in some ways, that's good. That means if everyone's kind of mad at me, that means, I feel like I'm going down the middle. But in some ways, it's tough. It's tough to hear that all the time. But it's also such an exciting story. I mean, as you know, we're talking about $1.2 billion of investment in St. Petersburg when you couple the stadium project with the redevelopment of Tropicana Field. You're talking about a very contentious potential referendum. You're talking about, the Major League Baseball team in the city. You're talking about one of the bigger developers in the world, or a couple of them who are coming in St. Petersburg. And it's just kind of a combination of a lot of big players. And, you know, I get to have my little piece in it and try to kind of get that information and pass it on to the readers. And that's what I do, and I love it.
Now, this is obviously very divisive topic, like you mentioned. And there's a lot of concerned constituents out there. How much time of the day do you spend on the phone and answering emails, just not even with the government and with the Rays front office, but just with concerned local citizens?
Sure. To be honest, mean, my interaction with most citizens is electronic, and either through email or through the new blog we have, Ballpark Pregnant. And I think that's primarily not because people aren't interested. I think it is, for the most part, because people, that's how they choose to communicate with me. I'll probably say I have 4 to 5 phone calls maybe a day. You know, if I'm there and I answer them, we'll talk for 5 minutes. If they call me and leave a message, I'll be honest, I don't necessarily get back to everyone. I try, but I can't guarantee it. Email, that's probably another 10 to 15 a day. And, you know, they just kind of tell me what they're thinking, and I reply, thanks for writing, and, you know, generally that's where we go. But it's been fun to interact with people because they often bring up points or opinions or thoughts that I haven't thought of. You know, I've been in St. Petersburg 5 years, and some of the people I've been talking to have been here their whole lives, so, you know, 8 years, 6 years, 50 years. And so they offer a perspective that I don't necessarily have, and it helps frame what I'm trying to do kind of going forward.
Having studied a bunch of the different things the Rays have brought forward with the whole financing situation, the $450 million number up till today has sort of been a fairly vague number. All we knew up until this point was the $150 million in private investment from the team and the expected $300 million from the redevelopment project. With the detailed financing plan being released today, do you think this does a good job of making their plan more clear to the public?
I think it is more clear. I don't think it eliminates the questions. I mean, what the Rays are doing today is they're essentially saying to the city and the county, take the investment you're making in Tropicana Field now, and that's about $11 million a year, and extend those payments out for 25 to 30 additional years, and for that, we can get you a new ballpark, and we can get you a redeveloped Tropicana Field, and we can get you construction jobs and permanent jobs and things like that. What the questions still exist are, that process, extending the payments, when added to the team's contribution, leaves a gap. And the way that the Rays right now are suggesting we fill that gap is by trying to monetize some of the parking revenues that would be generated by the new downtown ballpark.
Now, you said they've guaranteed $55 million, correct?
Yeah, $55 million.
Do you think that's, and can we fully expect that to happen?
Well, I think the big problem is, the question here is the city willing to play ball? The city and the Rays have had a difference of opinion when it comes to the availability of downtown parking in St. Petersburg. The Rays generally say there's more. The city has generally said there's less, or we need to build more. And so the question is, the big hiccup in what the Rays are trying to do is the Rays want to essentially prepay the city and purchase about 2,500 parking spaces from the city for 81 nights a year. And these will be spaces that maybe will be in the Pier lot, or in the Bay lot garage, or in South Core lot, or in the city's employee garage on Central Avenue. And the way it would work is the Rays would pay that money up front, they'd buy all the games for all the spaces. That money then could be used, it would be a government bond or just a loan, that would yield about $35 million. And that would go to construction. And then what the Rays would do is they would sell those spaces to season ticket holders or, game day goers, and they would fill those spaces and essentially recoup the money. And so in actuality, who would be paying for it would be the people who were parking. It would just get passed through from the Rays to the city to the people who are parking. Problem is, that's $35 million. There's still $20 million left to go. The Rays say we have a couple of ways to pay for that. We want to sit down with the city and talk to how we close that number. One of the suggestions that they threw out today was, what about a $1 surcharge on people parking at the game? And obviously the question is, well, the Rays don't own the parking spaces. How do you do that? And it would essentially necessitate the city creating some type of rule or something that said if you were going to a game and you paid $10 to park at one of these lots, you actually pay $11 or whatever. I don't know how it would work. I think the city and the Rays will need to figure out. And that's one suggestion. And so the Rays are essentially saying, with what we can do, we feel pretty confident into that last $20 million piece when it comes to the, and that's related to parking. If we can get that far, way to get there. So that's what the Reds are saying, but people may not believe it. So that's one of the things that I think will have to be worked out in the next weeks coming.
Okay, well, one of my sort of biggest concerns with the whole proposal is that if the plan does go over budget, that the Rays say that they're going to back it themselves. Now, what if there is a huge construction error, just a big mistake, that you find these all the times in sort of big construction projects, and the project goes way over budget, maybe another $100 million? Are the Rays ready to provide that type of financial backing?
I think what the Rays will tell you a couple things. And the first, they'll say, we're building a spring training facility right now in Port Charlotte, and we made the same commitment in Port Charlotte that we're prepared to make in St. Petersburg, which is, if you let us be in charge of the construction, we'll pay for cost overruns. So in Port Charlotte, it's a much smaller facility, obviously. The government agreed, Rays were in charge of the construction, and the Rays are going to open on time, they say, and under budget. So the Rays will say, we think we can do it, and we can think we can do it under budget. But under budget or on budget. But if we can't, we're prepared to take those cost overruns if you're prepared to let us be in charge of the building. Now, obviously, you're right. If there's a huge cost overrun, who's going to pay for it? The Rays say they will. It'll be interesting to see what assurances the city seeks in a potential lease. And that's what we're talking about here. Because think about it in another scenario. I mean, this isn't going to happen, but worst-case scenario. The Rays start constructing the ballpark, and, you know, team goes bankrupt. Can't finish the ballpark. I mean, what happens in that scenario? I think what we're going to see here in the next weeks and probably months, this will stretch on, is the city and the Rays getting to agreements on these issues where they provide comfort. And the city is looking for assurances that minimizes liability. That's what they're looking for. This is one of those questions. What happens if the Rays come back after 2 years of construction and say, you know what, we don't have the money to do this. We thought it would cost $450 million, but it's really going to cost $550 million. We can't afford it. You need to help us. I think the city and the Rays need to build a scenario into an agreement to make up that difference, to figure out a way. One suggestion maybe is something like they did at Tropicana Field, which is if the Rays decided to move, the Rays would owe the city all the debt that's remaining on Tropicana Field. Maybe there's an agreement you can structure that way, that, you know, if the Rays can't do it, you know, we take the Rays to court and whatever. I think that could be worked out, but I think it has to be worked out.
Okay. One of the biggest complaints of opposers to the stadium is sort of the 1% hotel tax and the $100 million revenues generated from that. They think it should be going to more important areas such as education. However, if the stadium goes through, the city should make even more revenues that could go towards education while also adding a beautiful stadium to the community based on the redevelopment project. On this topic, is it truly as much of a win-win situation as the Rays make it seem? Or do the opposers, based on their reasoning, have a good argument?
Well, let's start, there's a couple things in there. Let's start with the $100 million of the tourist development tax. That money is 1% of a hotel stay. So, frankly, if you have a $100 a night hotel stay, you're going to have a $1 tax. That money will go help fund the construction of the ballpark. There's a couple things. The money can only, right now, fund the construction of the ballpark. Can't do one other thing. Now, starting in 2017, if the Pinellas County government decided to do something else with that money, they could, but there's a lot of, but it can only do a limited number of things. And in this case, primarily two that I can think of. One, they can spend the money on advertising for tourism. So they can, you know, put ads in magazines or on TV saying, come visit St. Pete Clearwater. Two, they can use it on beach renourishment. Some of the money is collected through this Pinellas tourist development tax currently goes to beach renourishment. So the argument that the money can go to schools or the sheriff's office is not true. The money can't go there. So there's that. I mean, so the question when it comes to the county portion is for people will be, do you want that money going to the Rays or do you want it to go into beach renourishment or advertisements? You know, I mean, that in a sense, that's about all the money can be used for. On the school issue, quite frankly, the Rays plan is a huge benefit to the schools. I don't think there's a way you can look at it another way. I think their numbers are in today's dollars, the redevelopment of Tropicana Field would generate $73 million new dollars tax revenues that otherwise could not happen. that would go into the school system. And so, I think this is a benefit for schools. And again, the question is, the schools are kind of silent here. They're not going to have a real say. It's going to be more in the county and the city. What risks are they wanting to take?
Okay. I got a few more questions here. I don't know how much time you got. Okay. If you were the voice of the opposers of the new stadium, what would you say is the strongest argument in opposition to the new stadium?
Well, that's hard. I think they make a couple, and they're compelling. I mean, they're kind of fundamental questions. One, do you want a new stadium on your waterfront? I think there are a lot of people who say the answer is no. I think there are some people who probably say the answer is yes. I think that's a fundamental question. I think a fundamental question is, should the city and the county make a reinvestment or pay for a new baseball stadium? I think it's a fundamental question. I mean, I think, you can argue that in this economic time, allocating tax dollars, however they could be spent otherwise, to subsidize, in effect, a private entity is not a good thing. And so I think those, to me, are the big two things. I think there's other questions. I think that, yes, there are unanswered questions related to how people would park and the traffic situation. My hunch is that just because of, because of the way we are, I think people will find a way. And so I'm personally not sure what level of concern that will actually materialize, but it's a concern to people. That's a fact. And, so I think those are probably some of them. But like I said, I think it's the cost and then it's the fundamental decision.
If this stadium does go through, the whole Rays front office, this whole proposal and the way they're going about it has sort of been a new way for front offices to take a stance on it. Do you think that future franchises will use the plan of action that the Rays have done as a blueprint in the future?
In some ways I want to say yes, and in some ways I want to say absolutely not. And I think what's interesting about it is the Rays are trying to attempt to come out of this as a holistic view. And, the argument is it's more than about baseball, to boil it down in a nutshell. And they're trying to put a plan that they say is good 365 days a year. It's good not just for us. It's good for the community as a whole. And I think that's a model that I think other teams, I think the San Diego Padres notably have done something similar, and I think, the Rays have kind of built on that model, and I think it'll probably continue. Why I hesitate to say that, people model the Rays model here is because the Rays have done a lot going out into the community, and I think that sometimes comes with a lot of aggravation. I think the Rays, I think there's been a lot of talk about quote-unquote secret negotiations that occurred, but so much of this process has occurred in the open that I think it has actually kind of prompted maybe additional criticism that doesn't happen in many other cities. I mean, I think, and that's probably part unique about Florida, but I've looked over pretty much every stadium deal they got done in the last 10 years, and in most every case, it's guys in a smoke-filled room kind of, smoking cigars, getting this deal done, and that's not what's happening here. I mean, today, the city council heard the financing plan that at the same time that the media did, and at the same time, the residents did, and that's different. So I think some of the things would be a model, primarily the concept is probably something that would be modeled. I don't know if the execution would be modeled, because quite frankly, I think the Rays, I think it's hard on the Rays in the way this is set up. And the fact that you need a referendum at the end of it makes it even harder.
Yeah. Well, looking at the other way, if the stadium doesn't go through, what will the front office do next? Do you think they'll continue to seek a new stadium at possibly a different location?
Yeah, I think I heard Stuart Sternberg talking about this just recently, and he sounded pretty definitive to me, so I feel safe passing along. They believe that this is the best deal that they can present to the city and the county. They also believe this is a good deal for them right now. If this doesn't go through, Sternberg said in pretty bluntly, that, you know, we're not going, we'll go back to the truck and we'll play in the truck. And I think, we're not talking about what the effect is, what that means, but for me, from the way I interpret it, is that, you know, we will, if we're in the trap, we'll implement, they will implement, that's the Florida Marlins model, you know, which is, we will try to get good, we'll have 2 years of being good, maybe we win, maybe we don't, then before we have to pay our young players, we'll sell them, we'll trade them, get new young guys, rebuild, and start all over. I think what they're trying to do here is build a model that's probably more like the Minnesota Twins, which is where you can kind of have a more steady team that, you know, yes, you're not going to be able to keep all your players. You're going to have to trade some of them at some point. But you're going to be able to keep enough of your core over a period of time that you can be competitive almost every year. And I think that's the difference. But, I mean, from a baseball on the field perspective, will they come back and try again? They say no. My hunch is they probably will try again. You know, though, quite frankly, I think they're also going to be looking to see the better deal out there to be had in St. Petersburg. And I don't think they can find it. So,
I was going to say, I've heard from a bunch of people, they think the team and attendance would be more successful if the team was located on the other side of the bay. Have you heard this at all from constituents, and what are your opinions on this?
I think there's a lot of people who think that attendance would be improved.
And I know the lease has a big deal to do with this.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who think attendance will be improved in Tampa. I don't think leaving for Tampa is a possibility, however. I don't think, I've talked to enough of the city officials who, you know, as mad as they may be about investing more money in baseball, they're pretty protective of the investment they already made. And so I don't think, I could not envision a scenario in which the city of St. Petersburg would let the team leave for Tampa. Now, you know, could there be a scenario where the city of St. Petersburg lets the team move up closer to the interstate and the Howard Franklin Bridge? Yeah. And, you know, could it be, even if that happened to not fall into St. Petersburg, would it be okay with it? I think so. But Hillsborough County is a whole different ball of wax. And on top of that, my hunch is I don't think there's the money in Tampa to build up a stadium anyway. So, but that's another discussion.
All right, a couple more questions real quick. Now that the financing plan has been released, what is next on the agenda for those that are following the stadium process? Like, what is the next thing that you're looking forward to?
Sure, the next big thing is on June 5th. The city council is going to make a first of three votes to decide whether or not this stadium question will be put on the November ballot. There's three votes scheduled, one June 5th, one at the end of July, one first week in August. The council has to get a majority vote each time to put it on the ballot. If it gets a no vote on any of the three times, it doesn't go on the ballot. And there's no option to re-put it on the ballot in November. So that's really the big crucial day right now, June 5th. It's an eight-member city council. You need five votes to move it along. Council members aren't showing their hand. But, I'll admit, it, just from the way I read things, it looks close, you know. And so the question is, on June 5th, do we go forward? And if they say yes, then on June 5th, we'll also decide which of the two developers that left in the running at Trump Tanner Field is the city going to go with. So that's the next big hurdle.
All right, finally, I can't let you go without asking, in the end, at the long run, are we going to get a new stadium? And is it going to get built? And how confident are you in your response?
Well, I'll be 100% confident in saying I have no idea. I think there are a lot of variables, many of which we probably even haven't discovered yet. In my job, I don't predict the outcomes of many things because I'm probably always wrong. So it's best if I leave it at 100%, no idea.
Well, I want to make sure everyone knows to go check out Aaron Chirachman's blog at TampaBay.com. It's called Ballpark Frankness, and you can check out his just about daily articles by now in the St. Pete Times. He does a great job. I mean, I really don't know anybody who's more informed on the whole situation than him. I mean, we just talked for 25 minutes, and it didn't even faze you. So go check that out, and I'd like to thank you again for joining us.
Oh, Thank you.
No problem.